that happens in life can happen in a show. You can make them laugh, you can make them cry. Anything, anything can go.
Welcome to your weekend. This is Weekend Showcase, your North State Arts Magazine. I'm Tom Kinney. See, they wrote it for you. I'm talking about the quartet of absolutely brand new short plays now on stage at the Blue Room Theater. It's a uniquely Chico tradition known as Fresh Ink. It's four plays written in 1 week, rehearsed for another week, and then presented to you fresh. On our program today, we talk with one of the writers, a few of the actors, and with the directors, including Joe Hilsey, who co-created the Fresh Ink concept at the Blue Room 16 years ago.
It's been a fantastic experiment. Every time, I'm always fascinated and delighted with what the writers come up with.
And we'll be talking with photographer Paula Schultz, who captures artistic images of the ceremonies, personalities, and traditions of North State Native Americans.
It's a way of life for most of the participants, the dancers, and the families. They bring their children and the elders to pass on the traditions that are involved in the powwows, and I'm hoping that my photos show some of the tradition and how important it is for that to be kept alive.
We'll also hear from tribal member Lucky Preston about the sacred traditions of the powwow in Oroville. That's coming up over the next half hour here on Weekend Showcase. Stay tuned. First, here's Brian Mull with the North State Arts Calendar.
Opening at Redding's Riverfront Playhouse, the Nora Ephron play, Love, Loss, and What I Wore. This play, a series of monologues using a rotating cast of five actresses, touches on such subjects as fashion and women's relationships. See this concoction of comedy and cutting commentary tonight or tomorrow, starting at 7:30. Tomorrow in Red Bluff at the State Theater, the Axiom Brass Quintet takes the stage. The repertoire of these five young musicians ranges from jazz and Latin music to string quartet transcriptions, and includes original compositions. That's tomorrow, starting at 7:30. Tonight, in Chico's downtown plaza, join your friends and neighbors for some bluegrass and Americana music, courtesy of Mossy Creek. The fun begins at the new Friday night concert start time, 6 o'clock. At the Chico Art Center, the exhibit Food in Art, The Art of Food, features mouth-watering creations in paintings, photographs, and sculptures. The galleries open every day, noon to 4. The exhibit at Chico's 1078 Gallery is titled Wax, Paper, String, and features works by Paula Bush. Her paintings combine melted beeswax in various colors with ink and string. Bush also includes her sculptures constructed out of string and wax. 1078 Gallery is open 12:30 to 5:30, Tuesday through Saturday. In Oroville, the Birdcage Theater presents the madcap farce, Out of Order. Showtimes are 7 o'clock tonight and tomorrow, with a 1:30 Sunday matinee. Tonight, in Grass Valley at the Center for the Arts, the Blind Boys of Alabama bring a new version of gospel sounds to North State audiences. This is music rooted in America, and the concert starts at 8 o'clock. Our program will be on vacation a week from now, but here are some performances you can enjoy next weekend. A week from tonight, in Chico's downtown plaza, a special double bill for fans of the Friday night concert. From 6 o'clock to 9 o'clock, a pair of Chico's favorite music groups, Decades, and Big Mo and the Full Moon Band, put a smile on your face and get your toes tapping. At Chico State's Laxon Auditorium, Shrek the Musical, Junior. Kid performers from Playhouse Youth Theater bring to life this famous fractured fairy tale about a green ogre who becomes an unwilling hero. One performance only, a week from tonight, starting at 7:30. And in Yuba City, a week from tonight, the Acting Company premieres its latest production, a comedy set in the swinging 60s, Boeing Boeing. A bachelor juggles three sexy, strong-willed stewardesses until his luck runs out. Opening night is next Friday. The curtain goes up, up, and away at 8. That's the calendar for this week. Thanks for listening. Professional cynic Ambrose Bierce wrote this definition. Painting, noun, the art of protecting flat surfaces from the weather and exposing them to the critic.
Watch out. Go.
See ya.
The Fresh Ink Festival 2016 is performing this weekend and next at the Blue Room Theater in Chico. Here's how this unique Chico tradition works. The Blue Room invites four North State playwrights to participate. Four casts, made up of three or four actors each, are recruited. Then the writers are given specific required elements that all the plays must include, and they're given photos of the casts. The writers then have only 1 week to create scripts for these four short plays. And after a week of rehearsals, the directors and the actors have productions ready for the audience to see. Let's visit the Blue Room Theater, and we'll talk with some of the people involved in creating this year's Fresh Ink. I'm talking with Joe Hilsey. He is Artistic Director of the Blue Room Theater. He's also one of the directors during the Fresh Ink Festival, now on stage at the Blue Room. So I understand, Joe, that you were in and around the Blue Room when the idea first came up to create the Fresh Ink Festival, which started about, what, 16 years ago?
Yeah, we wanted to do something that was a little bit different, had a little bit of a different spin on it. Yeah, in 2001, we came up with this idea. It's like, well, let's have everyone write their play together, and we were going to give them this list of common elements and then see what different people did if they were given the same ingredients. It's the same idea if you give, you know, you give a bunch of chefs, you say you have to make everything with the, you have to have at least these five ingredients, and everything you make has to have these five ingredients. What different things are you going to get from five different chefs?
What were the elements this year?
Well, we started off with a painting. We started off with Diebercorn's painting Coffee. And he was a San Francisco Impressionist from the 1950s and 60s. And it's this wonderful, very sort of somber painting of a woman who's drinking coffee, and she's sitting in this chair. And in the background, there's a window, and through the window, there's sort of a very vague landscape. So what we did is we said the set is going to be based on what is seen through the window of the painting. And the interesting thing is that we asked each of the writers, take a look at this painting, and then describe it in no more than 100 words, but more than 50 words. You can't describe that it is a painting, or you can't describe the name of the painting, but just tell us what you see. Then take that little piece of writing that you've done and give it to one of the actors to speak. And so that has to be a monologue in the play, this description of the painting. Other elements were there is a message machine that goes off, but you're never allowed to pick up the phone or answer. There is a small chest that has to appear in all four plays. The chest can never be opened, but everyone knows what is inside the chest. People have to take those elements and then base their play around those identical elements. And like I said, it's great to see four complete. We have dramas, we have comedies, and just I think the most interesting aspect to me was the descriptions of the painting. Sometimes it passed, and you're like, oh wait, that was the description of the painting. Sometimes it's talking about a woman who's sitting and doing this. One of them, it's just talking about this emotion, and this person's taking on the first person aspect of when I sit in this chair and I think of these things. And how that's incorporated into the four different plays, I think, was the most fascinating part for me.
Now I'm talking with Martin Trivera, who's the director of one of the plays. What was it like for you casting the play you were going to do before you even had the play?
It's odd, because it's almost like you have to pick your athletes, and then later on they tell you what sport you're going to play.
But what were the elements that were included in all the plays, but in your play?
There's a box that is never opened, and so there's a little sense of mystery to that. There's a tableau moment at the very beginning, and the tableau moment is also the very last moment in the story. So everyone gets to see the very last moment, and so they can try to figure out the events to lead to that moment. There is an answering machine that no one can get to the phone in time to respond to the answering machine message. So it affects the story because they can't stop hearing the message.
Now we're talking with the lead actor in the first play of the evening at Fresh Ink Festival at the Blue Room, Elizabeth Johnson. Hi, Elizabeth.
Hi.
So what was it like being in this whirlwind experience of creating a play in 1 week, really?
It was so exciting. I've never been part of something like this. I live in Los Angeles, and I'm new to Chico, and so to just come into this warm family, this warm blue room, and then they write the part for you. I think the writers had so much stress on them, but they did a great job.
And now we're talking to Erica Ann Sorensen, who is another of the directors. What was it like for you casting the play with no script, and then waiting a week till the playwright wrote the script, and then putting something together from a script that you and your actors had not seen before?
I can tell you it was just kind of really one of those things where you had to trust that the creative process was going to find its way to where everything was going to work out for the best, and it has. So it's actually a really beautiful lesson in letting go of control, because that's one thing I think even as actors and artists, we want to control everything. And in this situation, you just kind of have to jump and hope that parachute opens. But I just had faith. Alex Hilsey was the writer, and she's just fabulous.
Well, the play that you directed and Martin's play, which was the first play, they both deal with loss, the loss of someone who passed away somehow. What's it like directing a play for this fun event that has such really heavy themes?
Loss is something that nobody can escape. We all experience it. So in that respect, it's a really great subject to direct, because everyone will be able to relate somehow. As human, you know, it's just kind of an overwhelming but beautiful, painful grief. But it's a gift in a way, too. So I try to just make it really, like, I don't know, just try to make it soft but hard. I tried to find the contradiction, because that's what it is, losses.
So do you think that your play is basically light and enjoyable enough for audiences not to dread it too much?
Yes, that's where Alex was brilliant, because she takes us back and forth between the future and the past, but especially in the past, there's a lot of comedy and lightheartedness and friendship and just a throwback to the innocence, where the present is more like time to be an adult.
And now I'm talking to one of the actors from one of the plays, Rachel Miles. You're the lead character in the second play of the evening. there's some deep human loss involved in this play. What was it hard to fully get into those emotions since you only had a week to prepare?
Absolutely. It's difficult to channel the emotions, and then also the going back and forth between the emotions is you don't have time off stage to channel. You're going straight from happy to sad, and it's pretty manic.
That was one of the most intriguing things about your play is it shifts from one time to another. So how did you get into keeping focused as you shifted back to your teenage self and then to your older self and back and forth?
It's easy to be dramatic. I think it's harder to go from being dramatic into being young and jovial. And so it's just really about reminding myself who I am in each point and just making the crazy shift.
So what was it like to wait for a whole week after you were cast, not knowing what you were going to get, and then get your script and only have a week to put it together?
It's nerve-wracking because you have no idea. You're trying to prepare yourself, but you can't really prepare yourself until you have the script in your hands. But it's also kind of beautiful because the writer is writing the piece for you and who you are. So it's exciting. It's nerve-wracking. It's scary. This whole thing it's a ride.
We've been talking with Rachel Miles, one of the actors in Fresh Ink Festival at the Blue Room Theater. Now we're talking to one of the writers, one of the four writers that wrote the script for plays at the Fresh Ink Festival at the Blue Room Theater. Tell us your name and tell us the title of the play that you wrote.
My name is Evan Wolverton. I wrote a play called The Next Place.
So what was it like to know you were going to write a play, but not really know exactly what it was, and then get those elements that you had to include and get pictures of the cast members and write a play in only 1 week?
You know, I thought that I could come in with some kind of preconceived themes and conceits in the bag that I would just be able to work with, and once the prompts came in, those were all out the window. So it really was a series of, probably for at least half of the week that we were allotted, just going on hours and hours of walks to try and basically talk myself into an idea that I could finish. It's just a big problem. There's a lot of ideas that you can start, but there's only so many ideas that you can sink your teeth all the way through. I mean, I waited until I had no other choice. And it was exhilarating, that's for sure.
What was it that made you want to write in a character who was this flamboyant, over-the-top, kind of crazy lady medium?
I really enjoy the elements of the absurd. I needed it in this work in order to have fun with it and to write how I naturally do. So I introduced a wild card character, which is really important to me. I knew that would be the doorway into introducing absurdity into even the reality of the play and flipping reality a couple of times, which is just something I wanted to practice and see if I could do in a satisfying way.
We've been talking with Evan Wolverton, one of the playwrights who came up with the plays that you'll see on stage at the Blue Room now. It's the Fresh Ink Festival. Now we're talking with Stephen Sprague, one of the actors in the third play of the evening at Fresh Ink Festival. One of the fun and interesting things about the play you were in was you did a lot of physical stuff and you had to coordinate some of that physical stuff very closely with some recorded sound effects. Was that challenging?
Yes. Oh, yeah. There's splashing noises that go with, like, feet moving, and that's one person with two little keypads trying to hit it as soon as we take a step. We're always like, okay, are we going to hit? Okay, are we getting this one? Are we getting this one? It's kind of exciting, actually.
And there's some other wild physical stuff. I mean, there's a hurricane that happens in the middle of this play. Was that fun to do that kind of wild choreography, carrying the furniture all around the stage and creating that whirlwind with just you and the props?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, it was really fun just sliding across the floor and trying to make people believe, okay, so the wind is actually so powerful it's moving this bench and this table and they're attached to it and they can't get anywhere. It was extremely fun to honestly just try and crawl on the floor or try and move the set with trying to fall down the whole time.
This is Dolores Mitchell, and today I'm speaking with two people. First of all, Paula Schultz, whose exhibition of Native American photography is up at 9th Avenue Gallery through June 20th. 9th Avenue Gallery is at 180 East 9th Avenue in Chico. Paula, your work shows a great deal of insight into Native American culture.
I think that a lot of non-Native people that attend the powwows assume that it's just a weekend thing. They don't realize it's a way of life for most of the participants, the dancers, and the families. They bring their children and the elders to pass on the traditions that are involved in the powwows, and I'm hoping that my photos show some of the tradition and how important it is for that to be kept alive.
I really don't put you into the category of a photojournalist. You're really an artist.
Well, you see a lot of just powwow photos, but I'd like to try and elevate my photos to be more artistic, just to grab someone's attention, and maybe they can connect in a way that they could not connect with a normal photograph.
Well, I'm looking at one right now, and the main attraction is a very dramatic figure in a feathered headdress who is in color, but the watchers are not. They're in black and white.
Yes, this particular photo was taken on Alcatraz last year, actually, at the sunrise ceremony on Thanksgiving morning. I wanted to draw attention to her in particular because of the way her outfit is swaying, the lighting and everything. So I just decided to keep her in color and make the five or six rows, it was very crowded there, of people, onlookers. I changed that to black and white, so the focus is mainly on her.
Okay, let's take a look at this wonderful woman who is holding an absolutely dramatic dog who looks like an actor.
That's Chiquita. He is the powwow pooch. And this particular photo won an award and was in the Cowboys and Indians magazine in the February and March issue of this year and was taken at the Oroville powwow. She has been taking this cute little pooch, Chiquita, to powwow since it was 8 weeks old. It makes me laugh because if you look at their faces, they're similar.
Paula, it's so easy to fall in love with this tiny tot, that's what she's called, and she's being led by two elders who have her by the hand, and you can't see her face. Why did you choose not to show her face?
I wanted the focus to be on her outfit, and actually by the side of her face, you can see somewhat of an expression. I chose to semi-blur the elders that are leading her on out into the arena, showing her, this is what we do. We go out into the arena, and she's just following them and learning how important their traditions are.
I'm turning now to Lucky Preston, who is not only the coordinator of Oroville's Jim Preston Memorial Powwow, which will be May 28th and 29th, Memorial Day weekend, but also during her reception, which will be June 10th, a Friday from 5 to 8 p.m., he will be presiding over blessings. So, Lucky, let's take a look at your photograph by Paula of your hands.
Well, that particular day, we were at Beale Air Force Base. I was invited to come down to do a blessing and a talk to the Native personnel. I was actually doing a sage blessing after the event was over. I was burning sage and I had my eagle feather, and I was actually cleansing some of the people that were there. They wanted to have a sage blessing.
What will you be doing during the reception for Paula's exhibition?
We're going to be having a variety of different things happening. We're going to be having a blessing over the visitors that are here, and also asking good life for them and their families. And also we're going to be having some blessing songs for good feelings, good healings. We're also going to be having the sage blessing, like I had mentioned. It's a cleansing for mind, body, and soul, and also for the building. Then we're going to be turning the attention over to Paula so that she can talk about the photographs that she's doing.
And this is open to the general public?
Yeah, everybody is invited to come, encouraged to come, because it's a very important event for people not only to come to see Paula's photo art, but also to learn about the Native perspective of tradition and passing tradition on from one generation to the next.
Paula is the official photographer for the Oroville Powwow. So, Lucky, tell us about this powwow.
First of all, it's open to everybody. It's free admission. People can come and enjoy. The only thing that we ask that people, the visitors, come to pay attention to the masters of ceremony. He will tell you when you're able to take photographs, when you're not supposed to take photographs, different things like that. We have a lot of different dances and ceremony that goes along with the two-day event.
Lucky, tell us where this is located, how to get there, and what the hours would be.
We're located behind the Gold Country Casino, next to the gymnasium. There's a huge grassy multi-purpose field. We're able to be out there on the grassy field. The Gold Country Casino is proud to be the sponsor of our event for the second year. And it's going to be Saturday and Sunday, May 28 and 29, starting from 11 a.m. on Saturday to 10 p.m. on Saturday. Sunday, 11 a.m. to 5 p.m.
It's family-oriented. You can bring your children. There'll be arts and crafts and plenty of food and just a good time.
Well, thank you very much for telling us so much about both the exhibit and the powwow.
Paula Schultz's photographs of Native Americans and their ceremonies are showing now at 9th Avenue Gallery. The gallery is located on 9th Avenue near the Esplanade in Chico. The reception for the exhibition, where you can meet both Paula and Lucky, is on June 10th. And you can go to the Oroville Powwow on Memorial Day weekend. That's going to be happening in the field behind the Gold Country Casino. And that's Weekend Showcase for this week. We'll be back next Friday at 3 o'clock. As always, we encourage you to enjoy the arts where you live. For Weekend Showcase, I'm Tom Kinney. Weekend Showcase is a production of North State Public Radio.